Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord. Now, do you know this guy? But this guy is Bamanyida. Now, do you know that now they are planning that climate change lockdowns? Now that COVID seems to, they seem to have run that, you know? Now they are saying climate change what? Lockdowns. Now those ones, there is no end in sight. Because when is the climate going to stop changing? You understand? So the only way back is, the only way actually, is to just fight them. You see, there is a lot of people who failed that. You can somehow navigate these waters and life gets back to normal. Not when these people are there. No, it will not. And now even Kenya is reinstituting a lockdown. They are planning to. I'm not saying like what we have. We don't have a lockdown, you understand? I'm saying like the one in March last year. They are planning for something like that. But now it's apparently not COVID, but climate change. And now there was a lady, somebody was telling me, was on TV saying that one of those TV personalities who has a show was saying that she got information from them, from those people. And they were saying, at first when we said, when we extended the lockdown, we expected people to riot. But then we saw people were like lambs. So they said they couldn't believe. Like, hey, so these guys are this subservient. So they continue pushing the envelope, pushing the envelope. They will not stop, you know. And I told you, there is no end in sight, by the way. They started saying we have to first flatten the curve. Then the curve not only flattened, but started falling. Then they said, no, now vaccinations. Now after vaccinations, there will come some, now you see climate change. There is something coming up all the time. And she was saying that one of them told them, we could not believe that this guy is actually accepted. We thought the minute we said this, they are going to riot. So we are ready to pull back. Then we say, hey, so they have allowed. Praise the Lord. Now there is something that has happened to, the fire is going to come from the church. Glory to God. If only we knew who we are, who we really, really are, as compared to who we have been made out to be. The psalmist says in Psalms 139 verse 17, he says that, I mean, it's an interesting psalm anyway, all over, but he says, how precious also are your thoughts to me or toward me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Try getting it in NIV, verse 17 and 18. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Praise the Lord. Now imagine a scenario where how precious are God's thoughts towards you. What exactly he thinks about you and how he sees you. And now imagine that he spends all your lifetime trying to align what you think with about yourself to what he thinks about you. Because this person says, if I were to number them, they would be greater than the sand of the sea. His thoughts towards you. Praise the Lord. Now, this is not you collectively. This is not you, Watchman Fellowship. No, this is you personally, individually. Praise the Lord. Each one of you individually. How precious are his thoughts towards you? And then he says, if I were to number them, they would be greater than the sand in the sea. But then, of course, there is what God thinks about you, and there is what your experiences have kind of conditioned you to think about yourself. And now that is the quality of life that you exhibit, which is far less than really what it should be. Praise the Lord. Because you're thinking certain things of yourself. Because imagine, look at it this way. After the death and the resurrection of Jesus, then he comes and meets his disciples, and they are hidden somewhere in a room because they are scared of the Jews. And now imagine that he knows these are the people he came to train, and they're about to embark on a big work, but they are there scared of the Jews. Now imagine what Jesus is saying, that he's seeing them not for what they are, but for what they are going to be. Praise the Lord. Otherwise, if they really were as scared as that, he would have wasted these 3.5 years, because these are the people who taught us, who spread the word. So after Jesus' time, these are the people, this is it, this is what he came for. Now these are the ones who are going to take it on. Now imagine he comes and finds them, they are scared, in unbelief, and he looks at them and he sees something totally different. And he sees that in a matter of a few days, 50 days, 40 days actually, in a matter of 40 days, it was even less, because 40 days was from the resurrection to Pentecost, they are going to become totally different people. And these are the very people whose shadows are going to be healing people. Imagine you find somebody hiding from the Jews, and yet in a few days, the Jews will be looking for his shadow, not for him. They might even find it difficult to find him, but for his shadow. But right now, he's scared of those people. But now he walks on the street, and people have laid beds waiting for his shadow to be cast on them, and they become healed. And now when Jesus sees it, he knows these people. He knows that they are going to be, he knows who they are going to be, but they don't know. Praise the Lord. Now, he spends all our life trying to bring us to the place where we know how precious are his thoughts towards us. How, really, how does God see you? When he sees you, what does he see? Does he see a coward? Does he see a loser? Does he see, you know, or does he see somebody whom he is entrusting, just like those apostles were entrusted with preparing the church at its founding? Now he looks at you and he sees the people whom he's trusting to conclude the church age. Praise the Lord. Just as important. Do you understand? So those ones, he trusted them to start it. Now he says, these are the guys whom I'm trusting to finish it. Now, that might be a bit different from what you see from yourself, maybe because of experiences, and you've come up, you've had experiences which put you down and show you that you're not all that, and so on. But now he says, how precious is his thoughts towards you? And you cannot number them. They would be as the sand of the sea. And he's there saying, introducing you to yourself bit by bit. Amen. Now, and you will have to wait for him to tell you who you are, because you don't really know. What you know is what has been handed over to you by experience. Maybe from your parents, maybe from your school, and what, and they have shaped you, and maybe from your failures and so on, and all those things have shaped you. And yet actually, God knows the real you, and he's looking and saying, now, did you know this about yourself? Did you know this about yourself? Did you know that we are the people whom he knows he can count on? Just like he knew these apostles here who are scared, and they have locked themselves in a room. Very soon, they are going to be shaking this whole, not actually, not the city. They said, these men who have turned the whole world upside down. You remember? Remember that scripture? And Jesus looks and he says, okay, you're scared here, but if you only you knew what was coming ahead, if only you knew what you people are going to do in a matter of a very short time. Imagine Peter stands and then says, a man who was very timid and cried tears because he denied the Lord, and then he goes and cries tears. But then later on, not too much later on, after Pentecost, he stands up and tells the Jews, you evil people who denied the Lord. Imagine, that's a man who knows how to forgive himself. Because, do you know that that's what he calls them, the scripture? It's time to repent, you people who denied the Lord. If one of them would look and say, but, Peter, don't we know what you did? Eh? But he has, that's the former him. Now he's a different person. Now he stands in authority. He was scared a short while ago. Then now he turns around. So now, tell me something. When God sees you, he sees somebody who is going to change his environment rather than his environment changing him. Praise the Lord. All of you, I tell you, each and every one of you, even those who are listening, otherwise you would not be born in this dispensation. But he selected you individually, that these are the ones who are going to end the church. The same way he selected, you remember what he did before he went and chose his disciples? He went and fasted, okay? You know, it says he spent the whole night in prayer. Then the following day, he went, you follow me. Now, he's selecting the people who are going to commence all this church age. Now, it might not have been that spectacular for you, but also you were selected like that. For you who are, because the conclusion is, the scripture says the conclusion of a matter is greater than its beginning. Isn't it? So he selected you just like that, that you are the ones who are going to conclude this whole church age. Because you are the ones who are living in the age when he comes back. Praise the Lord. So now he says, I've chosen you. You could have been born in 1500 or 1700 or 1800. But no, I kept you. I know you guys. You are the people whom I trust to conclude this church age. Praise the Lord. Now tell me how you can fail when he says he trusts you. So imagine if the disciples had failed and Jesus goes and they say, man, we're out of here. What would Jesus do? Would he have to come back again and train others? He knew that these guys are going to do what I sent them to do, and they are the ones, and we are all here because of them. Now, he also knows, he cannot go and say, man, these guys are fake. I chose them to end the church age, but everyone is on his own things. No, you are not. Amen. You are all specifically selected for something so great, and he trusts that he will do it. And he knows what he's doing. He does not make mistakes. Praise the Lord. So how precious are his thoughts towards you? How wonderful are they? When he sees you, does he see somebody who is, you know? Now, the whole point is this. Life, we actually allow ourselves to be shaped by the outside of us rather than the inside of us. For instance, you've suffered failure, you've suffered this, suffered that, and all that, and it actually gets inside you. Remember what Jesus said? So it gets inside you and transforms what you think about yourself. Yet actually, it's supposed to be the other way around, outward, inward. But you see, the reason people find it so much easier to believe their experiences is because they turn on certain voices which they should not turn on. And so they listen to things they should not be listening to. And then, even when you come and listen to a powerful word of God, it's just like one meal in a week. And you can't survive on it. Even if you had a second one and a third one, you still wouldn't survive on it. So it's until you actually decide to turn off certain things, or actually, in most cases, turn off certain people. Because you know, there, every time you take a step higher, you lose so many friends. And actually, you find people hating you. People can hate you for just wanting to take a step. And you find people who loved you, hate you, and you've not done anything. You've just wanting to step out of something and go into a higher thing. And that is just the way it works. Who do you think you are to stand for president? Well, guess what? I not only stand, I'm going to be. So now, there are certain people who are warming up the seat for me, but it's just a matter of time. Now, but if you expect that everybody is going to come and cheer, they will not. That's not how it works. But you see, you have to turn off certain voices, turn off certain people, okay? Turn off certain groups of people who once, and God knows how many times you have to turn that off, because I remember there was a group of people who they started a group of, you know, campus friends and so on. People, you're in the same year, so you're there chatting and watch and feeling chatty. Then at some stage you realize that this is not taking me anywhere. You understand? Then the other time they come OBs from Namiriango. No OGs, for me they were only OBs. But I wish they were OGs. OGs is not a bad idea. It's a good idea. Praise the Lord. But secondary school was only OBs, unfortunately. So, they call you and now they are, you know, we have a get-together, people from the same year. Now, you know when you go there, you'd have fun. Because these are people whom you grew up with when you were young, from S1 to S6 and what. And you have stories. So, I used to do this and this. And I was actually tempted to go there until I felt led that don't start looking behind. There is a lot of in front to look at. Now, the minute you start looking backwards, there will be a time, it might not be there. But if the Lord tarried, let's say and I'm 80 and I feel I've done my work, then I start looking behind and say, man, the good old days of Watchman. Now I'm allowed because I've finished running my race, so to speak. I'm just winding up, Tamu Egenda, before I go for my reward. But now, when you are still in the pursuit of something, and somebody is trying to make you look behind, remember those days. They are not days to remember. We are looking ahead. Praise the Lord. We are looking ahead because we have a very short time. Now imagine you go to, guys whom you are with, and friends, good guys. And you know, you sit there and you start talking about, man, our days at school. Remember what? Remember this teacher? What? You know, remember this sosh? You know those things, eh? Hey, what? You know, where is so-and-so? He's here, this one, you know. And it's actually very good for the flesh. But it is only for people who are going nowhere. Okay, I hope none of those people is actually listening in, eh? Because they will be offended. But I did not feel that it is time for me to go and start looking backwards to the good old days. There are no good old days. The good days are in front. We are looking, because the minute you're pulled behind, then you've reached a stagnation. Praise the Lord. And you know, there are people whom you look at and actually admire. Because I'll tell you this. I sometimes I look at people like, let's say, there are things which I like about him. Like Trump. The man is 74 or 75. But they still ask him, do you want to stand again? And when he's standing again, he'll be 78. If he does. And people are still on Bunkenke. Is he coming back? Now, somebody here who is 60. People are already calling him Jaja Muzei. What? 60. Now, here there's a man who is going on 80. And people are saying, are you going to stand again for president? And if he did, he would end at 82. And guess what? He would still be, do you know, that man will continue doing, starting things until he dies. Now, that is the man whom I look at and say, this is the kind of person. Right? Like, no time to waste. Now we are moving to this, new business, new what, new ground to cover, new this. When do you ever rest? When I'm in heaven. I have a whole eternity to rest. Praise the Lord. There's a whole eternity to rest and chill. Now when you start behaving as if you've arrived somewhere, then God is looking at you and you've parked at the roadside and there's a lot of highway in front of you. You have a whole highway in front of you which God has prepared. Okay? Start from verse 14. Of this same Psalms 139. It says, I'll praise you for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of Sheol. It says there, imagine now, my frame was not hidden from you, and I was made in secret for the end time, church. Who is going to complete it? Okay, Peter, John, you know, and all those, you did a good work starting it. But Athanasius, Abraham, those ones are the ones I trust to finish it. Can you imagine how powerful that is? You did a good work, thank you very much. But there are some people whom I have chosen. They are the ones who are going to finish it. Glory to God. Say, that's me. So we are, you like the thoughts are so powerful. Then he goes on to say, verse 16. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. Imagine everything. The days fashioned for you. So there is even no space for you to die. When he wrote it, these are the days you're going to live. When there was none of them, when as yet there was none of them, not just the days, but what you are going to do in them, how you are going to change your environment. Praise the Lord. Now, when you come here, you land in a situation where people are telling you, giving you parameters of success that do not fit into God's thoughts for you. The next verse then goes on to say, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. Now, you come in places where people give you parameters of success which do not line up with what God has for you. So God has to first take you away from there. No. For you are not supposed to just build a house and get a beautiful wife. No. That is for simple people. Now for you, yours is special. You have a big assignment. Praise the Lord. Now he pulls you away from people who think like that. Now sometimes he even sends people, you know, to come and tell you. Like I remember sometime I was actually... I was falling into that category of really, because I was around people who thought that way. When you have this, have that, you've arrived. Then, but deep down you know, but really, how can I have arrived? So now I have a house and what? So now what? So now I sleep until I die? Really, is that what I was? Now, of course, when God has something big for you, He will. You can never settle for those simple things. Eh? They are a good stepping stone to where you're going. It's nice to have it, to have, you know, certain comfort. But it's just the beginning. Like you're just, you know, that's just the appetizer. The main course is yet to come. Now, so I was around people like that. Then some, I remember one guy, he told me something. And I don't know where he got it from. And this happens, sometimes God talks through donkeys. Not that the guy is a donkey. no, I actually didn't mean it that way. But the guy comes and tells me, but you're not supposed to be doing this. Then I tell him, what am I supposed to be doing? And now when he says it, listen, there is something deep inside you which knows what he's saying. You know what he's saying. But has been covered up by all these experiences, failures, what, and so on. So when somebody speaks, it goes past all that covering and goes deep inside you. Then you wake up and say, so what am I supposed to be doing? Then he says, no, I don't see you doing this. I see you doing something, you know, big and what, and so on and so forth. Then he talks for like 2 minutes, talks sense for 2 minutes. Then it's like something has shifted from him. Then he becomes an ordinary person. Now the trouble is, I took him for a prophet, yet he was a donkey. Now, so the next day, I went back to him. And I said, some days later, I went back to him. I said, there's something you were telling me the other day. And said, what? About things I'm supposed to be doing. He said, there's nothing wrong with what you're doing. I said, this was a donkey. Because God used him just at that moment to wake you up. And some of you have had those experiences, right? Where somebody, you're settling for something, and God sends somebody to come and remind you. And say, you mean this is what you're doing? No, this is not who you are. And he switches on and off. And that is your moment to wake up. Now, then all life, the experiences around you, you allow them to bring you into a certain place of this is what you are supposed to do, you know. And then, you know, there's a time when we'd have testimonies of, you know, I got a good job and it pays this much, so I'm paid in dollars. And that sounds good. Eh? Praise the Lord. Sounds what? Yeah. I got a husband, and he's a hunk. Yeah. Well, some of you are looking at me as if you're hunks. I mean real hunks. I don't mean like a Ken. Anyhow, but my point is this. Like, that is not a testimony for the end time. You understand? That is not end time what? That is testimony for the 1960s. You were born too late for your time. The testimony for end time people like you, who God selected. Imagine if the Apostle Peter had come and said, Namalirize nyumba yange. You imagine? Or if Apostle Paul, whom they said, these men who have turned the world upside down, have come here also. If Apostle Paul says, I have my house, I have a place to retire. Now, there are things, if that was not a testimony for Apostle Paul, it is not a testimony for you. Which is not to say that you shouldn't have a house, you should. Praise the Lord. And actually, the grace for ownership was released. So now we've entered it. So now move into what? Yeah, but that is not the testimony. That is just to make you comfortable as you go into the testimony. Because the time we are in is the time for dominion. The only testimony you will give us is that now I am dominating this field. Nobody does anything without asking me. I am the number one of this, at least in Kampala. Then we say, now you're beginning to talk. Because the Lord establishes his dominion on earth through you. And he has put up thrones which are there for you. He says in Colossians chapter 1, start from verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Go ahead. Now, it's important, of course, you people to know that you're not the one who qualifies yourself. Do you understand? That's what the world is trying to make you do. In God's world, the world tries to tell you you're not qualified for something. But here it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. Does God fail? So he qualified you, you're qualified. It has nothing to do with what the world thinks. Now, when you understand that you're qualified to be for the inheritance of the saints in light, then you don't try to qualify yourself when you have already been what? Qualified. So when you sit an exam and the examiner says you've passed, you don't try to pass again. You've passed. The exam is not yours. So if the examiner says you're qualified, you're what? Yes. So now giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. Now listen, these people, you read ahead in Colossians, he will tell you what things they were doing wrong, which is no different from you. But he says God has qualified you regardless. You understand? So he's not talking about a perfect people, and we know that. None of these people were perfect. Not even close. And you can see it from the scriptures. Afterwards, he tells them now this, now that, that. But here he says, giving thanks to the Father has qualified you to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Praise the Lord. The only qualification is receiving Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Then you're qualified. Amen? You know, I was talking to some people and I told them, that time I think there was this rich man who had just died called Mulwana. So I said, so if Mulwana dies and they are reading the will, imagine if I went there and said that, okay, but I'm sharper than his son, so I should take the inheritance. No. The qualification is being a son. Even if I am sharper, wiser, taller, what, smarter, I am not a son. So there is no part in me. Praise the Lord. Now, if his sons are if his sons are stupid, fake, what, they get the inheritance. Because they are what? Yes. So the only qualification is being what? Do they ask that, how did you do in school to get your father's inheritance? Nobody asks that. The only thing is you're a son. So you're qualified. Praise the Lord. So now the scripture says you are qualified for the inheritance of the saints in light. Qualified. Anyway, let's go ahead. That's not what I wanted even to bring out. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Next verse. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's just the foundation in your mind of what you should know. Then he says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that on earth. So there are different things which were created. Some are in heaven, some are where? Then it says visible and invisible. So there are things which are invisible which were created. And they are there, but they are invisible. Amen? So, okay, let's see what things they are. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Now, there are thrones which are visible and there are thrones which are what? Invisible. But they are there. They are just as real. Just because you can't see them doesn't mean they are what? They are not there. They are there. So now each and every one of you has a throne which you're seated on, but for now it is not yet visible. But it is up to you in following the Lord to make that throne visible. Praise the Lord. So if I stood up and told you, I'm Joseph Kableta, founder of the Watchman Ministries and so on, you'd say, we know that. But there was a time that throne was invisible. Nobody knew it. But then I went and made it visible. You understand? So now when I say it, you say, tell us something we don't know. But there was a time, there was no such throne. And you see, when you don't understand that everything that is made, everything that is made does not come from nothing. There is nothing which is created that comes from nothing. It was something in another world, and it was translated into this world. I remember seeing a pastor who desired for himself a very big arena to have his church there. And then on the day that he went and had his first service in the church, and after preaching, a journalist came and told him that, how does it feel preaching in this big arena? Then the guy said, he didn't say, but he said later on, he said, I wish he only knew that had been preaching in that arena for 10 years. Now, for 10 years it was invisible. He said he would go there and go in the building and look and imagine. He's just imagining. He's building. Something is happening, but it's invisible. Now, the world waits for it to be visible before they accept that it is true. But where we come from, we don't wait for things to be visible. We go and make them happen when they are invisible. And then we translate them into this world. And then they become visible. Praise the Lord. So there is a throne that you're seated on. It's just that it is still invisible. Now you go and make it visible so that everybody sees you're sitting on that throne. There is a throne I'm sitting on. But right now somebody else is there, but it, you know? But it is invisible. Eh? It is what? But I will make it visible so that when I say this is my throne, people say, we know. Stop boasting. You actually sound like you're bragging. You understand? Eh? Yes. And now when you know those wonderful thoughts, you know, nothing is created out of nothing. That thing which, that miracle, you have to first create it inside here and refuse every other evaluation of other people and say, that's my throne. This is my place of dominion. Nobody is going to come here until they come and ask me. Praise the Lord. And then you create it. You create that scenario. And then later when you come out, when it becomes visible, people look and say, that man the other day was like this, now he's like this. You are the only one who knows. Now like that pastor, he's the only one who knows that he had been preaching in that place for so many years. Where he goes there, looks, stands, looks, and he's creating something out of something. From an invisible realm to a visible realm. Now the process, he said it was a national, it was a facility that belongs to the state. So the first thing that happens, the people who are occupying it go away. Then now the council of the city sits and says, people who have some things to put here, come and give us your proposals. What would you use this facility for? So he goes and tables his proposal. And it's a long process. One process after the other, until eventually they say, we've awarded the facility to this man. Then he prepares to have the first service there. And it is big and it's magnificent. And it is, he has been there for a while, but it was an invisible throne. Now, if he came and told you that, man, do you know I'm the pastor who preaches in that auditorium? You say, stop boasting. But there was a time if he told you that, you would say, dream on. You understand? The difference is the throne came from invisible to visible. Now, it is all our work to make sure that those thrones which God has given us, and you have to know them. Eh? You have to know them. Somebody comes and reminds you that, do you know you're the best coach in this country? But we have not yet seen it. So it's up to you to make sure it is visible so that if you stand and say, I'm the best coach, people say, stop boasting. Praise the Lord. But you were before. You were always. The only difference is people want to first see it. Now, from where we come, everywhere you go is dominion. The only testimony we admit is that now this area, when it comes to sound, and you know, sounds what I am the person. Everybody comes in the country, they ask, how do you do this? How do you do it? Now that's dominion. Praise the Lord. That's what? And or if you count it in money, you've lost it. Because you can have money and nobody knows you. And you're not impacting anybody. Actually, you become useless. And you might even die. Do you know that? Let me tell you something. There is nothing as deadly to your life as being useless. Let me show you. When people are involved, there was a time I would say, those wicked men, I wish they died. They are not going to die. We have to remove them and make them useless. Then they what? Die. David has to first fight and make Saul useless before Saul dies. He doesn't just sit there and pray that Saul does what? Luke chapter 13. You know these guys who are giving fake vaccines and what? They are not going to die. They are going to be here. Because by the way, let me tell you, they are still adding onto their eternal story. You understand? Anybody who is still adding anything into their eternal story, whether in heaven or hell, will not die until their story is complete. You understand? That's how it works. It's people who have decided, now let me sit and eat. You remember that rich man who Jesus said that his ground yielded a lot of fruit, a lot of produce. And he said, now what shall I do? Let me build big barns and, you know, store in food. And then I sit down and relax and say, tell my soul, man, you've worked, labored hard. Now it's time to have a blast. Then he says, that night, the Lord says, your soul shall be required of you. Because you're wasting time on earth. This earth needs people who are doing. Now let me tell you, those are the people who die. People who are in the process of doing something don't die. Praise the Lord. No, let me show you, it's in the scripture. Okay. Luke chapter 13. It says, there were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that those Galileans were worse sinners than all Galileans because they suffered such things, or in other words, because they were killed by Pilate? Do you think they were the worst? Do you think the process of who dies and who doesn't is based on who is worst? Can you imagine, you're such a good person, but he died? And then all the evil people are still around. The evil people are still adding on to their what? Their story in eternity. Because they might be at this level of hell and they are still going deeper, deeper, deeper. They might end up right next to Lucifer, right there. You understand? So until they are finished, they will leave. Because there is some old guy who confuses them. I won't even say his name. And the other day, and they talk with venom. And I said, but this guy, why is he still alive? He still has to go a bit lower. So now, when you still have something to do, you are not going anywhere. You understand? Even if there's an accident, what? You will not die. You cannot. Because there are still things you have to do here on earth. Because your story is being written. How are you going to find out the size of your mansion when you were cut off in the process of writing your story? Some of you right now are in heaven, Les Misigots. I'm just using what? Figure of speech. But God knows that your mansion has to be big. But you need time here to move from the Muzigo to what? To the mansion. Okay, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will be likewise. You will likewise perish. And Jesus answered and said to them, unless you repent, you will likewise all perish. Go to the next verse. All those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed. Now you see, this is real tragedy. A tower falls, which they are building, and kills people. And then Jesus gives a theory and says, do you think those people who died were the worst sinners? Do you think they were worse sinners than other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? Then he says, no. I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise what? Perish. Go ahead. Now, here is where he explains what he means. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up ground? Why is it still on earth eating food? But he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, if not, after that you can what? Cut it down. Now, let me tell you, quite a number of times in my life when I came this close to death, actually almost 20 years ago, almost exactly, in August, 20 years ago, I was with some friends of mine, and were having fun. It was a Monday. There was a big football match, and the team of our, you know, the team which we didn't like had been beaten. So we're having fun, and we agreed with these people that tomorrow, in the morning, we had to go someplace in Jinja. So we agreed that this is what we are going to do, and wake up at this time, we meet in this place, and we go to Jinja. We were 4 people. So the next day, I went home. I couldn't sleep. I failed to sleep, so I slept when it was almost coming to morning. So guess what? I didn't wake up in time. So when I woke up and I looked at the clock, I knew I was late. So I woke up, prepared myself very fast, jumped on a border, and called these people and told them, I'm on the way. I'll be there in a few minutes. And actually, it couldn't have been more than 10 minutes before I would be there. But they said, no, we've already set off. And I said, no, just be patient. Just park there at the roadside. I'll come and find you there in just a few minutes. They said, no, we are not going to park. So I begged the guy, and he refused. And they went. And on the way back, they all had an accident. And they died, all four who were in the car. And actually, because everybody knew I used to move with that guy who was driving, some radios were saying that even I had died. But that was a classic case of, this fruit is bearing, not fruit. Then he says, give it one more year. Let us see. Let's cut around it and give it some fertilizer. Praise the Lord. But now I can no longer die because I'm bearing fruit. You understand? But let me tell you, that time it was by the grace of God. Because I wish I could stand up and say I felt I shouldn't go. Nothing. I was almost spiritually dead. I was going to walk straight into that thing. And I was going to die. But I think it was the case of saying, first give him some time. Let's give him one more year. We cut around him and see if he's bearing what? Fruit. If he bears fruit, then it's okay. If he doesn't, then cut him down. Now, I remember that time, as soon as that incident happened and I got over the shock and we went and, laid our friends to rest. And these are people who were really good friends. And it was a really, really tough time of my life. So you go and I'm talking about people who are young, 25. It is sad to see somebody die that age. Very sad. Who was just a life beginning, applied for a master's. Well, the whole world, it is sad. So after getting through all that, I sat down and I said, I will never be caught unready again. This time I was going, but never again. I said, I will never be caught unready again. That was 20 years ago. But it was a curse because I was bearing no fruit. I was having a blast. And you see, you're at an age where you've gone through a lot of, issues, and then now you've gotten some car job, you have some car money, you have a car, you have some decent housing. Life is good. But you don't know that somebody is bargaining for your life. That what? That this tree is not bearing any fruit. Should we cut it down? Then the Lord says, give it one more year. One more year equals 20. Amen? Of bearing fruit. And now pack a rapture. Of bearing fruit. Now, time. Praise the Lord. Now, we have to understand that the thoughts that God has for us, we have to align ourselves to them. I'm concluding. Because he spends all our life trying to show us that you're great. This is who I see you as. This is what you're capable of. You are totally underperforming based on what I see from you. You can achieve a lot of all these things. And now it's up to you to start convincing yourself over a period of time that this is not who I was. This is not what I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be greater. Sometimes you'll use donkeys. Sometimes you'll use, I'm sure some people have seen those scenarios where you just turn on TV, especially like those, Christian TV, and somebody is preaching, and they're as if they are talking right to you, to a situation about you and reminding you of who you are. And you turned on just at the right time. Then at all sorts of ways where God is trying to call for your attention, saying you can bear more fruit. Now remember in John 15, he says that the trees that bear fruit, I prune them that they may bear more fruit. Bear much more fruit. Now the pruning is going to involve cutting off certain things on your life, cutting off certain, influences, things you listen to, some news that you listen to that seems to want to shape you. You cannot listen to those things and remain the same. Somehow you'll always be a product of what you listen to. So if you decide there's some path you want to take and you've chosen this is the way, you have to, at some stage, cut off everything else and be believe this, because you, that's why you cannot. There are certain things you can't believe. You are trying to believe for, let's say, divine healing, but at the same time, you're listening to all these doctors explaining the source of the sickness and so on. You get zero. Now, the other person who actually completely believes in the medicine will actually get something out of it. And somebody who cuts it off and believes this will also get something. Guess who will get nothing? Somebody who is balancing the two. So you have to choose and say, you know what, if I really, really, really want to go in this direction, I'm cutting off all this. That doesn't mean stopping taking medication. That's not what I mean. I just mean there is certain knowledge which just adds to unbelief. That's what Paul tells Timothy. Old wives' fables and what, which says just add on to unbelief. Somebody comes and gives you stories and knowledge and what, which is going to help you nothing. Nothing. And there are also some people who cannot submit under one grace. They are under this, the other, and it also helps them nothing. Nothing. Praise the Lord. And I've told you this, somebody one day came and gave me a book by a certain man of God of how to prosper. And I know the man is a man of God, powerful, and you know, and he said how to prosper. Then actually I was tempted, because you know I had that reading thing, so I was tempted to get the book and read it, because I'm sure there is a lot of information, because the man who is talking is a respected man and he's known for prosperity. But then I realized that's not the path I'm taking. If I actually got that, it would just add to head knowledge and would actually confuse the path which I was taking. Not every knowledge is profitable to you. There is some knowledge which just confuses you and makes sure you bear no fruit. And I can tell people, who, by the way, who I can tell this one is trying to claim back from so many sources and end up getting nothing. I can tell them, and there are many here. Some of them are even, very powerful people in our ministry and what. But you look at them, you see there is no progress. But then you know they don't think that what they get here is enough. They have to go and get from somewhere else. And they will get knowledge, but they will never get results. Never. Results come from one direction. You shut off everything else. Or from one specific line of grace. You understand? That's how results come. Now, let me tell you. I had knowledge. Have you ever seen these people who can tell you how every rich person got rich? But guess what? They are broke. Knowledge doesn't add anything. It doesn't do anything. You choose one line and say, this is the line I'm taking. I am going to pursue this one. And it will always work. When it is one. Now, you see, there are people who have, who think that. And now that knowledge actually puffs up. And you start wanting to argue about everything. Somebody brings this. You say, you know, this man of God said this. Then, but also the other one also said this. So I don't know which is right. Both of them are right to their people. If I'm under this man of God, he's what? Hey. If I'm under the other man of God, he's also what? But what is wrong is trying to be under this one and this one and balance. You're wrong. You remember that scripture where Jesus said that you don't know the spirit that you're under? Talking to his disciples. They asked him that, should we also call fire on them the way Elijah did when they mocked Jesus? Said, should you also call fire on them? Then Jesus rebuked them and says, start from the previous verse. And he sent messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered the village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, they were offended, in other words, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just like Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. Elijah, wasn't Elijah a man of God? Didn't he have the spirit of God? He did. But Jesus is saying, just because Elijah was also a man of God, I am different. So you follow my path. Then he went on to say, the Son of Man did not come to destroy lives, but to save them. Then he says, that is the spirit that you're of. So follow mine, forget Elijah. Not that, of course, there's nothing to learn. But if you're following, you follow one. So he says, if you want to get from this man of God, he's the spirit of God is on Jesus, the spirit of God was on Elijah. but they are different ministries. The only way you are going to get from one is by, this is the spirit that we have. The spirit, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. That is the spirit that I am of. So if Peter and James and John, if you want to get from Jesus, understand that I did not come to destroy lives. I came to save them. Now you cannot get Jesus' anointing and do Elijah's things. It will not work. Amen? Hey. And Elijah could not have done what Jesus did. I don't even mean in terms of saving the world. But I mean, his was a different era. And the Spirit of God was moving differently. Now there is an anointing that you're of. If you want to not get anything, you try to mix. And I know people, I've seen so many people. And of course you don't tell them, because it's kind of, they are sharp. Eh? And what do you tell somebody who is sharp? Nothing. But you see, there is not going to be progress. And it is not there. And I can tell you, to see progress in my own life, I had to cut off everything else and decide what anointing I am following. When I did that, the progress started coming. Now, is the other man a man of God? Yes. Is he working by the Spirit of God? Yes. No doubt. But I can't mix them. You understand? That's what the Baganda call Kuleto Buji Mubara. Eh? Buji is good, but not in a bar. Hmm? Some of you would go to Java's and ask for Luombo. There's nothing wrong with Luombo, but it's not at Java's. You understand? Then you go to Mama Gundi, Wariku, then you ask for pizza. There are no pizzas there. There's only Luombo, one Narong. And then you ask for pizza, praise the Lord. Get your offering, let's pray. Father, I thank you because you show each and every person the place of their dominion in the name of Jesus. I thank you because you reveal to us that place where you want us to stand and dominate. And now we inquire of you this day. I want you to put yourself in a position where you're inquiring from God. Where am I supposed to have dominion? Where are you placing me that I may have dominion? Inquire, put yourself in a place of inquisition, and the Spirit of the Lord will answer you and tell you exactly where you're supposed to dominate. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, because you show us the place of our dominion. And by your grace, Father, we stand up and we walk in it, and we move in it, and we excel in it, and we dominate in it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
That was The Watchman. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Plot 9, Kulubia Road, Bugolobi. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.